Hi, you're listening to Java with Jen with your host, Jenna Lee Samuel. On this show, I bring the simplicity of hearing God's voice into everyday life in a no-nonsense, authentic, and super practical way. With coffee in hand and real life in our faces, let's do this. Hey, everybody. So good to have you back for another episode here at Java with Jen. I'm your host, Jenna Lee, and I have a special guest on my show. Her name is Rachel Ngom, and she is the host of She's Making an Impact podcast. She's a business and lead generation expert, which if you're not an entrepreneur, you don't know what that is, and that is okay, because we're going to get into the important stuff and what you can draw from this out of here. But she helps purpose-driven entrepreneurs create more freedom in their business so they can spend time on what matters most. Rachel went from being on food stamps with negative $400 in her checking account to a millionaire by 34 while working 20 hours a week. That is pretty incredible. She now helps other people do the same with her signature courses and programs. She loves to travel and has lived in Kenya, Senegal. She got married in Morocco, which sounds like a dream. She spent 2 years in France. And if you'd like to learn more about her, we will share all of the connection info at the end. But Rachel, thanks so much for being here. It's good to have you.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Okay, so now my audience isn't primarily entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
But a lot of the moms that listen to my show have asked lots of questions, like, how do you do everything you do, generally? How have you built a business and you do ministry and blah, blah, blah. So I know there's a segment of my audience that is interested in that. And I think part of being, I don't know, a godly woman and being creative people, we kind of explore side hustles and businesses and stuff a little bit naturally.
Well, and you know, it's kind of funny. So I actually wrote a new bio because, so apparently my team didn't get you the new one, but it's great because it kind of segues into the new one basically talks about how I built the $1 million company and then God told me to shut it all down to pursue ministry.
Oh, gosh.
So we can talk about business if you want, but I'm not really running that company anymore. It's mostly pursuing ministry.
Yeah, somewhere along the way, I missed that memo. So that is great to know.
Yeah.
Good information, good piece of the puzzle.
I know.
So, well, that actually does segue into what we talk about, which is being led by the Holy Spirit, hearing God's voice, and how that impacts our daily life. And so, as you guys can already hear, her story took a turn when the Holy Spirit got involved. So, So why don't you introduce yourself a little bit? Give us some of your backstory then, because now already we need to know the ending of this and how this played out. So,
I want to know the ending too. I'm like, God, what are we doing here? What's the plan? So I grew up in the church, a Lutheran church, did not really know the Lord. I was in church, just bored out of my mind. I would like bring books and read. In college is when I got baptized, like actually heard real worship music. And the first thing the Lord told me was go to Africa. And I was like, all right, how is that going to work out? Cause I didn't know anyone on the continent. I played volleyball. I was on full scholarship at the University of Illinois.
Wow.
And you can't take time off. When you have a scholarship, you know,
right.
But God. And I got injured, was medically released from the team, remained on full scholarship. My grandfather passed away. So I had to meet with one of my professors to retake a midterm that I missed. Mm-hmm. And she's like, what do you want to do with your life? You're getting your degree in sociology. And I'm like, well, I want to join the Peace Corps and go to Africa. And she was like, I'm going to get you an internship. So it's like, so then I moved to Kenya. Completely transformed my life. And then I moved to Senegal and that's where I met my husband. So that was like the first word I ever heard from the Lord. We got married. That was 14 years ago in 2010. And then we were going to church and I didn't know that I was missing something until I found this dude named Randy Clark. And I was actually praying for healing for my own injury from that same injury that I got playing volleyball. And found out this dude, Randy Clark, went to one of his conferences. And at that conference, I saw literally hundreds of people getting healed.
Yeah.
And I was like, wait, how come I've never seen this happen in the church? Like, God still does that. What? My mind was like blown. And then I went to another conference and this guy comes up to me and he's like, I've had neuropathy in my hands for years. I feel like you're supposed to pray for me. Will you pray for me? And I've seen people get healed, but I've never prayed for somebody and seen them get healed. So I'm like, I pray for him, not really expecting much to happen. Like, I know God is big, but I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. And I pray for him and he's like, my hands feel hot. And then he's like, I feel my hands. And he starts clapping his hands. And then he's crying, I'm crying. And I'm just like, Jesus, this is amazing. So then I just start praying for all these people and seeing them get healed. And then I'm like listening to the Lord. And he's like, start praying for your clients over Zoom. And so I start praying for my clients over Zoom, and I'm seeing people that are like walking with a cane on disability get fully healed, like crazy stuff.
How long ago was that?
So last August is when I saw Kenny get healed with his hands at that conference.
Oh, so, like, okay. So it's recent.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, God has thrown me in the fire. Since then, so like I encountered the Holy Spirit, like legitimately at that first conference in March. And then I've been in the wilderness ever since. So like since that encounter, the Lord told me, he was like, I'm not in this part of your business. I want you to shut it down.
Wow.
So that was last year around like April, May. So I'm like, okay, I'll be obedient. That it doesn't make sense because like, and here's where we can talk about hearing God's voice.
Yeah.
It's not logical a lot of times. Like it doesn't follow our thinking process because the program he had me shut down, Activate, had been generating $500,000 a year and takes 3 hours a month of my time. We had systematized this bad boy over the past 5 years to where it was like, we systematized the enrollment process, the onboarding process. Like I'm in France hosting a retreat and I have people on my team that are enrolling, onboarding and coaching our students. Wow. And so for the Lord to be like, I'm not in this program, shut it down. I'm like, huh, well, that wasn't me clearly. Like that must have been God. Right. So then we shut it down. And it has been very interesting. I actually had this guy come up to me at a conference I was ministering at. And he's like, the Lord's having you lay things down in this season. And he's having you lay them down because it's been you building it in your own strength. Mm-hmm. He's going to rebuild it, but it's going to be him instead of you. So be patient.
Wow.
So I'm like, thank you, Lord, for that confirmation.
Yeah, no joke. Oh my gosh. Well, that reminds me of the story of, have you ever heard the story of, what's her name? Joanna Gaines?
I haven't heard her story, but I know like who she is.
Okay. I need to find that YouTube video and send it to you because I think it's going to breathe so much life in your soul because that happened to her. Like she had a successful little shop and the Lord asked her to lay it down. And it was like such a dying to self moment. And she went ahead and did it and she was scared to death and crying. Like it was a death, you know? But then after that was when HGTV came along and the Lord opened those doors and now they have their own freaking network and she's in Target. You know what I mean? So it's like, when the Lord asks you to lay something down, it's always, always to give birth to something greater. Right. And so that's incredible. So what do you do now then, since the Lord asked you to lay it all down?
Great question. Well, I'm in ministry school with Global Awakening. So Randy Clark has a ministry school and it's the Global School of Supernatural Ministry.
Wow.
So I am in that school right now.
That's it. So you're not doing any of the business coaching.
I am. So we have a podcast,
uh-huh.
which is great because then I can bring in like my teachers. So I just had like Rodney Ho come in and we talked about deliverance on my podcast. It was so fun. Anyways, so we have the podcast and then I'm not advertising coaching. So it's like, if there's somebody that comes in that we're like, I could really help this person, then I will.
Gotcha.
But it's funny because so many episodes on my podcast and what I've coached people on is how to not trade time for money. And I feel like that's the only thing that like the Lord is like, you can do this just in small doses, but it's trading time for money. So it's kind of funny. So it's very, very, very little. And it's only like a very select few people.
That makes sense. That makes sense. Yeah. Okay. Well, I feel like now my questions are totally like, I'm like, I missed this part of your bio. All your stuff on the internet is all your business coaching stuff, but that's okay. I kind of love this because it's like, I feel like so many times in our lives, we can get to this place where it's like, we think we have this plan. Like I always saw myself in the four walls of the church doing ministry. And then when the Lord, I had actually prayed a very strategic prayer where I'd asked that if there were callings and anointings on my family line that went unfulfilled, that the Lord would put them on my life and on my kids' lives so that they could be fulfilled and we could offer those to the Lord in heaven. And then shortly after that, I had this dream that like was literally like heaven came and sat on top of me. It's a long dream, but the Lord pivoted me after that and put me in fashion. And I was like, fashion? really? Why? I can't dress. I don't even know how to dress. But then sure enough, I ended up, long story short, working for Stitch Fix, styling 9,000 people, becoming an expert, started a business in that. But then I don't even do that anymore because now I pivoted into podcast coaching, you know? And so it's like, the road takes all these turns and you just don't always know where it's going. And so like, maybe a good question for those who are listening, who are like, I can relate to my life not taking the turns I planned for it to take. Mm-hmm. One thing you mentioned that you knew it was the Lord was that it wasn't a thought that you would have come up with. It's not something you would have dreamed up. What are some other ways that you felt like you knew that it was the Lord? There was a confirmation there. Was there anything else in your journey that made you realize, okay, because that takes a lot of courage to lay down something like that.
It does. So I had a few people pray with me, and like and especially someone that was on my team, I was like, you know this program more than me. And it was like, it was just confirmation running it by her and being like, yeah, I think this is what we're supposed to do. I mean, being obedient isn't always easy, and it's usually mm-hmm. the hard things that were asked to lay down, you know? Yeah. So like, it wasn't an easy decision, especially, and it's so interesting looking back because I didn't realize how much pride and how much ego I had because I had a $1 million company, you know? And it wasn't until I like laid it down and no longer have that, that I could see like, and it was me building it. You know, like exactly what that guy said to me, like, you built it in your own strength. And I'm like, oh God, this was me. This wasn't like me relying on you for guidance and wisdom. It was me going to coaches and getting like, yes, God can work through people and all those things. But it was like, it was so much like my determination. And so I'm like, and even looking at some of the things I put in the program, and I'm like going to start, I'm writing a book about this, of how like the new age and personal development has so intertwined, especially in like Christianity and Christian coaches in that personal development space. And I didn't realize how much like new age teachings I had adopted over the years, thinking it was okay because I was learning from a Christian that I then put inside this program. So when the Lord's like, I'm not in it, I had to step back and look at it from an outside perspective. And I was like, you're right. This isn't good. And it's got to go.
Wow. So what were some of those teachings that you saw weave in?
Meditation, visualization, like incantations. So a lot of it's like self-reliance, self-development, not God reliance, not meditating on scripture.
Yeah. I can understand that. Because the thing that gets me, because I agree, when I got into the business space, it's amazing how like every freaking business coach teaches about affirmations and visualization and manifesting. And I'm like, why do they all teach this? But I will say this. It works because God started it. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like the prophetic is about, it's the powerful thing. Like when you see something in your imagination, like your imagination is your spiritual sight. Like that's where it plays out, right? And so when you see something and you focus on that thing, like there are so many scriptures that affirm those concepts of, you know, life is the power of the tongue. Life and death is in the power of tongue. Those who love it will eat of its fruit, you know, and all these different things of like coming into agreement, declaring these things. And, you know, as for the works of my hands, you command me, you know, and all these things, there is something very powerful about those principles.
Yep.
But what makes them new agey and ungodly is, like you said, when you take the Lord out of it. And that's the
danger
zone.
And when you twist it and you use it for your own personal gain. So it was like I had a vision board and I had like my Chanel purse on there, right? And like our dream house. And then that's like a whole, I'll tell that story. So I had like my Chanel purse on my vision board for years, right? And I set a goal for myself to get that purse and I finally got it. And I got the Chanel wallet too. And after I had that first encounter with the Lord, it was like, I just kept praying every time I would leave my house. I'm like, God, can you put someone in my path that I can just like show your love to?
Yeah.
And the first time that happened, there was a homeless woman literally sitting outside of a restaurant. And so my son and I, like, we just went up to her, sat down and started talking to her. She ended up taking the bus from New York. We live in Orlando. Her ex was injecting her arms with Windex.
What?
And she had, like, crazy. And so she's like, do you think I could have $5 for the medicine for my arms? And I'm like, well, yeah. And I like go into my purse, grab my Chanel wallet, And I'm like embarrassed to have this like ridiculously not necessary expensive thing to give her money for, you know, like it was just like this moment of like, Rachel, why are you so focused on like you yourself, like you're a Christian, but you're fallen from like what the Bible says you should be doing. You know, it's very much like self-glorification.
Sure. Now, was this your journey? Was this something where, because you did grow up in the church, do you feel like, how did all this happen? If you had I don't mean this judgmentally at all. I'm just trying to move through your story. It almost sounds like you're going through a detox. Where did all this come
in? March. It happened in March. So like, I know
like
the
I
moment.
Know what happened.
I know what the moment. So it's like, I grew up in the church, never knew like Holy Spirit and never knew like the power that we had until I went to Randy's conference in March. And at that conference, I had this experience where I was like shaking and weeping. And after that, like my husband literally sat me down a few months later and he's like, what happened to you? Like, you're different. Like something changed. And I had to like take him back to like that moment. And then the Lord, it's just been like this sanctification process. And then I started having dreams about like the music I was listening to and like all these things. So he's like, that's gotta go. That's gotta go.
Wow. So Holy Spirit came in the picture in a very different way. Wow.
Yeah.
That's incredible. So would you say like, explain that then. Let's go into that for the sake of my listeners too. Like you were a Christian.
Yeah.
You encountered the Holy Spirit. Would you say that's, you got filled with the Holy Spirit? Like what exactly was that shift? I mean, from what you're describing, it almost sounds like what people describe when they're like, I got saved. I got born again. But I mean, you were Christian.
Yeah.
Was it, what, explain that whole thing.
So one thing I've learned from Randy, he has a book called There Is More, where he talks about there's different baptisms of the Holy Spirit that you can experience. So there's not just like one baptism, right? That might have been like my experience where like maybe I was a Christian but I never got baptized with the Holy Spirit because I didn't know, like I got baptized in water but I didn't know there was like another thing.
Fire.
So yeah, like I didn't teach that in any of the churches that I went to. So like that could have been baptism in the Holy Spirit experience. And then when I went to the next event, maybe it was like another infilling of the Holy Spirit. So like Randy just says like there is more, and every time like you can receive an impartation from somebody and something gets like activated. I don't know,
that's,
but Randy
so
just says there is more. So I'm just going to keep walking in that.
You know what? Considering God is infinitely, we will never even tap the knowledge of who he is and how great he is.
Yeah.
There is always more. There just is always more.
Yeah. Randy has a really good book on the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit and how there's been just so much division in the church around it of like how it happens, when it happens, what are the signs of it and all this stuff. And what I've come to learn is like there is no pattern really in God's sovereign, and he's going to do what he wants to do when he wants to do it.
It's kind of like he gets to be the boss.
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, so okay, so now that you're like on this path of like almost detoxing from business, though I really firmly believe, just because of knowing how God works, full circle later you'll look back and you'll be like, that's why I went through that season. I needed those skills, I needed that knowledge, and here's how the Lord's just simply going to repackage it and use it with his Spirit on it. So I have no doubt that's ahead. What is this path that you're on now? What does it feel like? What is growing in your heart? Like what vision is growing in your spirit?
It feels like a lot of uncertainty and trust and just faith that he is good. And so I didn't know it like when it first started, but after that encounter in March, I got thrown into the wilderness and I have been tested and refined in so many different ways. And I didn't realize that was what was happening. I was, cause like things were happening in my business that I had never encountered of being, you know, I've been an entrepreneur since 2011, right? And like all these different things were happening in the business. And then like personal, and then in my body, and then like finances, and then marriage, like all these things. And I'm just like, huh, all right,
what is happening?
Is, I can describe it as like you're upside down being shaken around. And now that I understand the power of the wilderness, there was actually, John Bevere, he has a really good series on YouTube on the wilderness. So I watched that whole series and then I read his book, God, Where Are You? And I'm like, oh, it makes sense now. I'm like, everything that has happened, now I get it.
Yeah.
And it's been interesting as I'm like, hey, God, like, what's the business plan? Is like the money in the business bank account is like dwindling and dwindling and dwindling as we have let go of almost everybody except like my right hand lady that I asked about in the beginning. And it's funny. I felt like I almost got scolded of like, now is not the time for that. Like, don't focus on the strategy. Now is the time to really like have a firm foundation. And I was just ministering at a conference after that. After the Lord told me that, and this girl comes up to me and she's like, I don't know what this means, but God just says, wait, like, just wait. And I'm like, I know.
Thanks.
It's just, it's funny to get like, or not funny, awesome, to get those confirmations of like when the Lord tells me something, it's just like, just wait. And I'm like, okay, what are we doing? Like, what's the plan here? What are we doing? But clearly, like, God needs to do some things like in my heart, in my soul, in my mind, in my spirit that need to be refined. So
I understand what you're saying. I went through a season about 3.5 years, which now I didn't call it the wilderness. I probably would have benefited from John Bevere's teaching, but I call it the dark night of the soul, because it felt like even my some core theologies were being shaken, because not that my core fundamental theology was wrong, but some scriptures that I had taken and misappropriated to my life had developed some unhealthy understandings of how God works, or how God does this, or how God does that. So it was like, everything that can be shaken will be shaken, like Hebrews says, you know, that we serve a God who's a refining fire, and everything that can be shaken will be shaken. And that is what I experienced. And now I'm on the outside of that 3.5 years, like healing from it, recovering from it, you know, but it was like, I can look back and I can have so much value for that season, even though I literally thought it was going to take me out. I literally thought I was going to die and lose my calling and like, oh gosh, it was so difficult.
Yeah.
But there's so much purpose in that season. Like God does, he purify, he kind of like establishes you on your own 2 feet and pulls away all those insecurities, and which obviously we're still a work in progress forever, but it's a valuable season. It's a horrible season, but it's a valuable season. You know what I mean?
I know. I'm just like, Lord, you are so faithful. And if this is what needs to happen, like whatever's on the other side has got to be good. Like,
yeah, no kidding. I mean, like, cause we just like on the other side, my husband and I became senior pastors like last week, you know, we were voted in by our church. And so I can see how a lot of the things the Lord was purging out of me, like the need for approval of man, or the lack of boundaries, or, you know, just not knowing how to say no, or not, or needing people's validation before I took action on things. You know, the Lord just like stripped all those things away. And now that we're senior pastors, I'm like, oh, I get it. You know, and I'm like, I see why I needed those tools for the season we're walking into. And so I do get it. So I have so much hope and excitement for what's ahead. And I'm sorry. I know what it's like. I'm sorry. I know what it's like. So, So take a step back then. Obviously, laying down your business had an impact on your family. When you're making that much money, it affects your family, right? Yeah. I would imagine. Yeah. What was your husband like in this process? Like, where was he? What was his perspective on everything?
He's a supportive and maybe a little confused, because he's not in it. So he doesn't see it. And he's not the one like having the visions and all those things. So he's seeing it like as an outside perspective.
Yeah.
But he's also like, if that's what you want to do, then I support you. And he's also like a very simple dude from West Africa, so he doesn't need much. And thank God we never increased our expenses. So we still drive like a 2007 Chevy Trailblazer. So like, even as like my business grew and everything, we never, except for the Chanel purse. That was like literally the one thing that like was a little fancy, but everything else has been like very, very basic. So I mean, his happiest times were when he was living on a field with like no electricity. So he's good. He's good. Yeah, he doesn't need anything. And we have made some really strategic investments. So like we've taken the money from my business and we've used it to buy land and property in Senegal and here in Winter Garden. So he's running the farms on both places, and a car rental company. So we've kind of taken it and multiplied it.
That's so smart. I actually read in, you know, I was listening to Ecclesiastes yesterday, like the whole book. I really actually am liking it. I think once I went through the dark night of my soul, I was like, Solomon, I relate to you differently in Ecclesiastes now. Although I'm not going to lie, there is one verse in there that I was like, I texted my husband and I was like, Solomon is just rude because he was like, not many people are righteous, but there are a few men, but not one woman. And I was like, what? Can you say that? I was like, Lord, why did you put that in the Bible? That's very rude. But it was on the heels of him talking about like seductive woman or whatever and how she's a trap. So I'm like, that's the context. We'll just stay with that context. But anyways, and so, but in Ecclesiastes, it talks about having multiple investments and putting your money in multiple places. Yeah. It does talk about being able to enjoy the blessings of the Lord. Like it is a good thing to enjoy your wealth and enjoy the blessings that God gives. In fact, there was one verse that said that God keeps his people so busy enjoying their blessings, they don't have time to brood over the past. Mm. And I was like, I've never heard that preached from the pulpit, maybe in prosperity churches I have, but you know, and so there's all these different passages that I'm just looking at them very differently. But I feel like it takes so much pressure off. In fact, I think in chapter 7, he's like, why be over righteous and wear yourself out? And why be overly wicked and destroy yourself? But a righteous man avoids all extremes. And I just, I love the wisdom that is in that place. I had a point to that and I don't know where it went. actually, okay. I do want to ask you about this. It kind of touches it a little bit. I did have this question for you. Okay. So there's a lot of Christians that can struggle with the idea of being wealthy. And I know you're kind of on your journey where the Lord's purifying that thing right there. I had prayed in prayer before church a couple of weeks ago and I had misquoted the passage that says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Yeah. And I said, the fear of the Lord brings wealth. And so this man comes up and he's like, you totally misquoted that. And I was like, you're right. I did. I mixed up two verses because there's another one that says humility and the fear of the Lord brings wealth, prosperity, and honor. And and he had never seen that verse, but it made me realize because he was quite agitated over it. And it reminded me that there is a big segment of Christianity that believes that wealth in itself is wicked or that being wealthy or even aspiring to create wealth is a wicked aspiration. What would you even say to that belief system?
Yeah. So I love Proverbs. And a wise man leaves an inheritance for his children, right? Yes, you can't leave an inheritance if you don't have anything.
Yeah.
I think it's a fine line between being self-seeking, self-serving, and creating wealth to love God, love others, and to serve the poor, you know?
Yeah.
So like part of me I do have questions around when I see pastors in like their $30 million mansion. And I'm like, did we read the same book? Because to me, it does feel like a disconnect to like surround yourself with opulence when like you could live a very comfortable, happy life and maybe like $1 million house or a $500,000 house, right? Like, do you really need 20 toilets to clean?
right.
And to get just to be able to give more or invest more. Mm-hmm. So I still have questions. I feel like biblically with everything I've learned, I'm like, the way I thought of it, I'm like, if Jesus were here today, would he be living in a $30 million mansion? Probably not. Would he
unless
be driving...
we built it for him, then he might.
Right. I'm like, would he be driving like a Lamborghini? Probably not. I don't again, it's a fine line. I feel like we don't need to deny ourselves of all things. And I think it can be taken to extremes. So like I gave the example of the Chanel purse of like, that was clearly kind of like self-seeking, self-serving, didn't really serve a real purpose. And the Lord is like, sell that purse, give it the money to the poor. So I'm like, okay. But then it could, like, I think people could take it so far where it's like live in a burlap sack and, you know, like walk everywhere. So I'm like, I don't think you need to go like that far. And even I'm like, as I'm like looking at ministry and like itinerant ministry and like traveling and that kind of thing, I'm like, I would rather fly business class than coach just because of comfort and like being tall and still having injuries and like being able to have longevity with ministry. So like I understand like the expense of that compared to like, I don't think we need to suck it up and fly in coach if we're going to be miserable and creating pain for ourselves, you know? So it's like, I feel like there's a balance, and I feel like also we need to seek the Lord on it for specific situations, because what might be okay, like someone else might have like just like a feeling of like, eh, I don't think I should be doing that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That, well, I agree with you, because I think it does really come down to the Holy Spirit guiding our convictions, because only the Holy Spirit knows where our heart is. Because really, if you pull back the curtain, the only reason there's a sense of conviction around wealth, I think, is because God knows what a trap it can be. And that greed and mammon is a spirit. Like, it's a spirit that is on the earth that causes us to seek more. And when greed sets in, it becomes consuming. And then it becomes the love of money that becomes the root of all. So it's like the Lord knows the path it can take us down. But just like anything taken to an extreme, like Ecclesiastes says, is it can wear you out, or it can kill you early, you know? So either extreme can become dangerous. And so I agree with you. And I asked that on purpose, because I felt like that was probably where you were going to land, because I don't know that there is not a black and white. The only black and white we see is tithe, be generous, give to the poor, like, and all of those still they're generalizations in that. I mean, tithing is 10%, you know, but giving to the poor, giving alms, all of that is relevant to how much you have. And even like the poor widow in scripture, she gave all that she had. She had not much to work with, but it was about the condition of her heart, you know? And so
like I'm thinking of, I know like reverse tithers, people that give 90%, they live off of 10%.
Wow.
And then in that 10%, if they have enough left over to buy the fancy car of their dreams or whatever, because it brings them joy. I don't know. I feel like that's okay, because clearly they don't have like a heart issue with being generous and giving stuff away.
Yeah.
You know?
I agree with you. And for me and my husband, that's kind of what we've come to. Like, we just feel like the way that you keep your heart in a healthy place is by regularly cultivating generosity. And so like on my mission in business is kind of inverted from yours. Like, the Lord had to really free me from a lot of poverty thinking. I grew up a missionary kid. There was not a lot of money. I had just a severe lack mentality. So even the thought, even to get to the point where I can say the Lord has called me to be a millionaire one day, felt so ingenuine 5 years ago. Like, I wouldn't have even been able to say it, but now it's a conviction. Like, because I'm like, there is work to be done with the wealth that we can create in this earth. Like, there are, it makes me mad when we have missionaries come to the church and they're begging for wealth or finances to simply do their work, and they're barely scraping by. Like, that makes me mad. I'm like, wealth is just a tool. Why is it the kingdom of God, their people are struggling when we own the God who owns the universe? And like, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob owned nations and owned armies, and their wealth was a sign of the covenant they had with God, you know? And so anyway, so I'm on like this reverse journey where the Lord's changing my thinking the other direction.
So I feel like strategically there's going to be Christians in the marketplace who their sole purpose is to make a ton of money that can be multiplied for kingdom purposes.
Yeah.
Because there are some of us, like, we have that gifting.
Yeah.
So it's like, we're supposed to be in the marketplace. Not everyone is supposed to be a pastor preaching. Our gifting is in the marketplace.
Totally agree.
Yeah.
Totally agree. And usually those people are super generous. And like you were saying, like, there's some people that are called to live in a hut in Africa. And that is where joy, that's where they meet joy, because that's what they're built for. You know, they're not built for the opulence. They're not built to have all the things. And so whatever, and it goes back again to the Holy Spirit, knowing your heart and leading your heart into the healthy space to carry the gifting and anointing that's on your life. And so I'm really excited for the journey that you're on, because I feel like that the process, it stinks, but it's the process of elevation. It's the process of promotion and the process of deeper, richer fulfillment and satisfaction in what you're doing. And so what would you, if my listeners were like, how can I connect with Rachel? How can I even follow along with your journey? What would you, where would you point them to?
Our podcast, the She's Making an Impact podcast. So I would start there. And then I have a free download. I put together all these verses on who God says you are. So it's an audio download that you can listen to and just renew your mind. And so it's just rachelandgohm.com/who God says I am. And that's, you can put that in the show notes.
I'll put that in the show notes. I love it. I actually heard you mention it on your episode. I was listening to some of your episodes this morning. And so, by the way, I realized I cannot listen to you on 1.25 because you
sound really
like
fast.
You do naturally. You speak really fast. I'm like, okay, can't speed this one up. She's good at regular speed.
I usually speed people up to 1.5 or even like 2 for some people, because like that's just how I talk and how I like process. So it's funny. You can't speed me up.
No, I can't. Not and catch everything. That's hilarious. Well, thank you so much for coming on here and for sharing your story. I really believe that it's going to encourage people, because when the Lord is transitioning us, when the Lord is dealing with our hearts, like, it takes courage to obey. And I'm grateful that you had the courage to obey and that you're following through on that, because we have one life to live. And at the end, all of us are going to have the same end, which is we stand before the Lord and we give an account for our lives. And that's what we have to live for, because that's the moment that really matters. And so I'm proud of you and I'm grateful for what you've done, because you're going to impact more people with that and with that messaging. And we need that messaging in the body. And so thank you for what you've done.
Thanks for having me on.
You're welcome. Well, you guys, make sure that you are subscribed to Java with Jen podcast. Go check out Rachel's podcast as well. It's called She's Making an Impact. It's so good. There's tons of great content on there. Whether you are a business person, there's lots of old episodes on there that talk about podcasting and business and all these different things. But then she's also sharing these different spirit enriching topics as well. They're going to challenge you in your relationship with the Lord. So go check her out. Those links will be in the show notes. And you guys, make sure to share this episode with a friend too, especially if you know someone who's in a transition or they're wrestling through what they feel like the Lord might be asking them to do, taking a leap, having the courage to obey. Send this to them. I think it will really, really encourage their hearts. But we will be seeing you guys next week. Thanks so much.
Thanks so much for tuning in to today's show. Listen, let's stay connected. Come follow me on Instagram at Java with Jen, where you can follow the latest and say hey. It's a really great way to stay in touch. Many of you have also asked how you can support the show. You can make donations through the Anchor app or on Patreon, or of course, by sharing, rating, and reviewing on social media and iTunes as well. Your heartfelt feedback always reminds me why I do this. Also, don't miss our merch store, where you can get super cool Java with Jen swag and coffee. Find it at javawithjenmerch.com. Until next time, remember, hearing God's voice is simple, and He wants to be a part of your everyday life. See you next week.